στόμα του Πατρός και του Υιού και του Αγίου Πνεύματος. Αμήν. Δόξα ο Θεός, ελπίσιμον, δόξα σε Βασιλεύ, ουράνιο παράκλητο, πνεύμα της αληθείας. Πανταχού παρών και τα πάντα πληρώνει θησαυρός την αγαθόν και ζωής χορηγός. Ελθέ και σκήνωσον εν ημίν και καθάρισον εμάς από βάσης κυλίδος και σώσον αγαθέτας ψυχάς ημών. Υπόν των Αγίων Πατέρων ημών, Κύριε Ιησού Χριστέ ο Θεός, ελέησον και σώσον εμάς. Αμήν. Hello everyone. I can see again that everybody is wearing a mask, which is good. So we're safe. That's the 20th installment. All right. Can anyone remind us what we said last time? Anybody remembers what we said last time? It was a while ago, and no one remembers. All right, so last time we spoke about humility, okay? And we said a few things about humility, but the one thing you need to remember is that if we want to be humble, if we ask about humility, God will give us ways to humble ourselves. I need to have them. Closer. I've got a pen. Thank you. God will give us ways to humble ourselves. Is the microphone all right? Can everyone hear? All right. For example, I don't know why, it's not connected with what we talked last time, but I thought, like a week ago, I thought to myself, I might just pray for more humility. Within a week, I changed two offices and then I found myself without an office. No one's fault, but at the moment I don't have an office. And I was actually expecting something to happen. I didn't know what would happen, but then it happened. And when it happened, it's because I'm moving to Brisbane. So people are taking their positions and there was no extra offices. So when I moved to the second office, the second before I was without an office, I thought, this is a small one. No one will move me from here. 2 days later, that was it. And when I heard that there wasn't any more offices, I thought, that's a humbling thing. But at the same time, I was very peaceful. And I thought to myself, now I can work from home. So, lockdown number two, that's right. But the fact is that when we ask for humility, God is giving it to us. And it's no one's fault. No one programmed so that there's just enough offices in the Archdiocese. Actually, they're not even enough. So it's totally understandable and expected. But if we see it the wrong way, we can get offended, we can get upset, we can get angry with people. But if we see it as it is, actually it's a blessing. I have more free time. So it's a good thing. ...that we've got from the previous time, because there were some comments last time, we didn't have the time to answer the comments, so there are some unanswered questions. But before I go there, do we have any questions about, doesn't have to be about humility, about NIPSI or in general, before we move on? Don't be afraid, yeah? Do we need a microphone? It's fine? Oh, all right. it's fine.
Sometimes when you begin your day, you have a whole list of things you want to do, like you expect to have all these things done, you know, I'm going to do this first, then this next, and then it doesn't happen, and then you're upset. And then you're moving, and then it all goes wrong. So how do you combat those expectations you make for yourself?
How do you what? How do you deal with expectations? So let's say that we have a list of things we need to do in a day and we don't get around all of them.
Or more so things you want to do.
Things we want to do and we don't have the time to do them.
Or like let's say your mom says, no, you're not going to do that today, you're going to do this.
Yes. And?
And then you get off.
Okay. So this was not in your list. Yes. Okay. All right. So when your mom tells you to do something and you don't want to do it, you pretend you didn't hear. No, don't do that. Your mom will kill me. No. Yeah. Yes. It happens. Have you prayed for humility recently? No? I'm asking because this might be the case. Anyway, yes, a lot of times we start to do one thing and things turn out in a way that we can't do something. Things can go right and a lot of things can go wrong in a trip. So before going somewhere, he would pray to the Holy Spirit, actually. And he would say something along the lines, Holy Spirit, I've got a trip ahead. Could you please make sure everything goes according to your will? And then whatever was to happen, he was comfortable with it. I'm not telling you not to organize your day and not to have a plan for things that you want to do. You definitely need to do this. But sometimes, instead of getting upset if things go the other way, just take a few deep breaths, see if you can communicate your point with the other person, and if they understand, that's all right. If they don't understand, pretend you didn't hear. No, don't. Just if they don't understand, you have to find a way that you don't disturb your peace and you don't disrespect the other person. So there is a fine balance there. But every time is different. Every time is different. It's not a recipe for everything. You have to look inside you and see what's more peaceful. And you have to look inside you and see what does not make you angry. Because anger is usually from the devil. So if you see that you start getting upset, reject this thought, and that's a good chance for yourself to humble yourself a little bit, and it's a good practice actually for humbling ourselves. Take a step back, and if you can, do what the other person asks, if it's not like something extreme or if it's not something that will have very difficult consequences for you. And next time, provide. You can always avoid people who ask for things. Pretend I didn't say that, all right? But if you have friends that they always ask you for things and you know that you will get in trouble, of course, at the end of the day, you will not look forward to meet these people because they will get you in trouble. They will get you out of your routine and you want to do things. Or you might want to pray and they might disturb your peace. So whatever we do, it has to be done peacefully. And if you pray at the beginning of your day for everything to happen according to what God wants, more or less, things will happen in a way that you will see that God was there. And then you will be peaceful. Does this answer your question? Anything else? It doesn't have to be a question, it could be a comment from everything we've talked about so far. All right. I will start from something. They post to Australia. I've got books from them, so you can get it from Greece. But the Greek, you can read the book. It's a very deep book, and Yerdes Emilianos was, when he was talking to his monks and to his nuns, so they knew how he was thinking, and they could understand what he was talking about more or less. For someone who has never read his books, never met him, never understood the way he processed things in his spirit, might be a little bit difficult to understand everything, and there might be questions. So when we talk about the Nipsey's book here, I'm trying to analyze things the way I can understand them and the way that I understood Yero de Emiliano, and this makes a difference. It makes a difference. And of course, we answer a lot of other questions that I'm trying to get around, more or less, if I can, as much as I can, according to the way that, and the spirit of Yerdes Emilianos, and according to the way he would give an answer. All right. So, there are four questions, and then there might be some points I would like to raise before we move on. So the first question, that's from last time, right? That's from last time. Can we become humble without God's intervention? For example, God allowing trauma, loss, or pain to help us humble ourselves. God works in mysterious ways. One thing that I came across recently was that people think that if something goes wrong in their lives, they think that God is punishing them for something. That's one way of seeing things, but I don't think that God is punishing anyone. If God allows things to happen, usually he wants us to learn from them. I'm not talking about trauma and pain. I'm talking about the everyday things. So we shouldn't think that God is trying to humble us if we haven't asked for it and if there is no reason for it. For someone to have a very humiliating experience, it's a very difficult thing. Once someone said something along the lines to me, if my parents humiliate me, will I become more humble? If someone is humiliating us, we will be humiliated, we will not be humble. There is a difference between humiliation and someone being humble. Usually humiliation, and like bullying, if someone is bullying us, doesn't make us humble, makes us hurt, makes us react, and it makes us angry. It doesn't make us humble. So that's the wrong approach if your parents to think that by humiliating your child, you will make him or her humble. You won't. You will lose any possible contact that you've got, connection that you've got with your child, and you will end up talking in two different languages. So humiliation is not making people humble, it's hurting people. God knows that, of course. If we know that, God knows that. God gives us the brain to understand this. So God will not humiliate someone. The difficulties, the trauma and the pain that comes in our lives, this is maybe because God gives freedom to everyone. So there will be people that they will use God's freedom in a non-appropriate way, and by doing so, they can hurt us. They can traumatize us in a lot of ways. And then the question is, how do we deal with this? We have to recover. We have to understand that no matter what happens, God is there for us. So even if we had a traumatic experience, we need to put it behind and move on. Some cases that are very difficult, and people might need professional help to get over this. But someone with low self-esteem, because this can result in low self-esteem in a person, so someone with low self-esteem might find it very difficult to be humble. And this sounds weird, but someone with low self-esteem needs to balance himself or herself first, and then look into being humble. To try and be humble, we have to be free first. And low self-esteem is not freedom. It's something different, but it doesn't indicate freedom. Low self-esteem shows that we don't believe in ourselves enough, that we are worthy of God's love, that we are worthy of everyone's love, that we are worthy to love others ourselves. So yes, low self-esteem is not helpful. And sometimes I've noticed that spiritual fathers, they don't help their children, their spiritual children, to believe in themselves. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying for someone to be proud and think that I can do what Saint Paisios did. But what I mean is that we need to understand that with God's grace, we can do things. We can do things. One of the things that my elder Emilianos told me was that he was talking about someone else, but he was talking to me about someone else. And because this person was an eternal child spiritually, so basically his spiritual father, this was at the monastery, his spiritual father, before the person entered the monastery, kept him always in infant's level spiritually. So he basically, as a spiritual child, he had no freedom to do anything, and he would be asking for the smallest thing, to the point that if someone was to ask me for the smallest thing, it would have been very annoying. I would have been very annoyed. Yes. And Gerardus Emilianos told me about this person, look at him, and he said to me about his spiritual father, make him a father the way you are a father. Meaning, we want our children, spiritual or physical children, to grow and become like us, if not better. We want them to become better than us. So if I have spiritual children myself, that they can understand God better than me, they can help others better than me, this is my success. Not to have 100 people that they are kindergarten level. This is not a success. I will be a babysitter if I have that, in a spiritual way, which can be also very annoying. So we need to help others grow. We need to help others grow. We need to help our spiritual children to grow spiritually. That's what Christ did with the apostles. He was with them for 3 years. That's it. He taught them everything. Then they missed him like you wouldn't believe, but he told them, I leave you the Holy Spirit. That's more than enough. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to do, how to do it, and when. That's all you need. So, trauma, loss, or pain do not necessarily help us be humble. They might create some difficulties inside us, which we need to overcome in order to find our balance and then look into being humble. I don't know if anybody wants to say something about this.
Brings to mind something that I heard where the discussion was about how you can have humility but also dignity at the same time. And the example of that for us was Christ. Struck by the servant of the high priest for speaking, for answering the question, and he turned to the servant and said to him, if I said wrong, tell me what I said wrong, but if not, why do you strike me? Even though Christ was the extreme of humility.
Yes.
And the balance, that balance needs to be found. And I think the discussion was about how do we deal with people in our workplace who are oppressing us or bullying us and remain humble, and the answer from the spiritual father was that's we need to look at that example.
Yes. So in case you couldn't be heard, I will repeat a little bit of what you said. How to have humility and dignity at the same time, and the example of Christ, who told to the person who slapped him, why do you hit me? Huh? Yes, yes. The thing is, two things. We need to always follow the peace of our heart. So if the peace of our heart tells us don't start a fight, we shouldn't. But the other side of the coin says that we need to have knowledge of things. What do I mean by that? We need to understand and read through the lines and understand in the current situation every time, what role should I play? Should I just say nothing? Or should I raise my voice and just tell them, what you're doing is wrong. So, for example, we have a law for abortions. We can't just turn the other cheek. We have to tell everyone that this is not right. Will they listen? No. But we have to do what we have to do. It doesn't mean that we will take guns and kill whoever believes that abortions are right. But it means that we will tell them that this is not right, so they know where we're standing. And sometimes people, they might not listen to our opinion, but when it gets to them expecting something from us in return, like votes, they will listen. So if we need to do something to help our society or our work environment, we have to do it, but we do it in a way that when we act, it's like we are not acting. I have to explain this. We are not acting, and at the same time, we are like actors. I have to explain this. What do I mean by not acting? So, when St. John, the forerunner, was saying to Herod, you should not have the wife of your brother, it was not him acting. It was what the Old Testament was teaching, and he was just telling him, what you're doing is not right. When we do this, we should not put our ego there. This is, I don't know if you will understand what I will say. That's why the Gospel, that's why the New Testament says somewhere that theatron egenithimen και angelis και anthropis, we became like a theater both to angels and to humans. So when I'm doing something, when I defend my faith, I don't do it because of my ego, because my ego is hurt. I do it because this is the right thing to do, and when I do so, I play my role. When you play a role, you don't get upset, you don't think of yourself, you just say what you have to say. That's what it is to be an instrument of God. Of course, you're free to do or not, and you're free to modify things and everything. But when it says in the New Testament that we became a theater to both angels and humans, I think one of the explanations is this. We'll play our role in the humanity by doing what we have to do, and it's not us acting, it's God through us. If we put our ego there, we'll destroy everything. Does this make sense? So if, for example, there is an issue in the family with one of the younger ones, they do something that they shouldn't. The parents, they need to raise their voice. But not because they said something that they were not heard. That's an action-reaction, that's ego. But because they need to teach the child that, listen, if you do this, that's not right, it's not going to help you. We paid a lot of money for this, and we can't afford breaking things all the time. So they need to understand, they need to have a clear picture of what's right and what's wrong. Then you're playing a role, but you're not acting governed by your ego. I'll give you another example, which we have said before. Γέροντας Εμιλιανός, when he was younger, he had the passion of anger. And this was, we've said this before, this was a very big obstacle for him, because he wanted to do things in the church, and he was getting angry, he was getting upset, he couldn't handle it. So what he did, one night, he didn't sleep all night, he prayed. Of course, that's Γέροντας Εμιλιανός, it's not us. And in the morning, God took away this passion, as simple as that. After that, he couldn't get upset. He couldn't get upset because he didn't care for himself. He only cared for the church and God. He didn't care for himself, so he couldn't get upset. If you want to kill me, who cares? But there were occasions that you would see him raising his voice, even to monks. But this was not because he was angry. This was because he had to teach them, what you've done is wrong. Understand this. Do you understand Greek? Well, you don't. What you've done is wrong. Don't do that. He was playing his role as a spiritual father. He was not following his ego and acting accordingly. They're two different things. Yeah. Anything on that? What do you do for a living?
Yes, I'm a doctor.
So the reason why I'm asking is because, so let's repeat this so everybody listens, hears. There is a law to be passed. It hasn't been passed in New South Wales yet, about euthanasia. And what's your role in this? And I asked you what you're doing. You're a doctor. All right. So, in case your voice can be heard, has to be heard. Because it's not right. No, it's not right. Life is a gift that God gave, and He can only take it away. And by saying this, there are some fine lines in all these things, but we can't take away something that we haven't given. It's not ours. You can write a few letters, make photocopies, make them look a lot, and send them. You can write a letter, photocopy it like 1,000 times, and send them all. It won't do any difference. If the society could be like ourselves, we could be more organized, we could maybe tell them this is wrong. But I guess we ourselves have to organize ourselves first before we do this. By sending one letter, it's not going to do anything. And unfortunately, especially Greeks, they are not organized.
And if I know what's right and I don't do it, is that a sin?
Is this a virtue? So if I know that something is right and I don't do it, it's not the best thing to do, to put it this way. Your conscience will be judging you. We have to follow our conscience. Otherwise, God can work miracles without us. He doesn't need us. But what is our role to play, as we were saying before? My role is to follow my conscience. My role is to be an example. That's why sometimes in the families we blame the kids that they do things. But we should have a look in the mirror, because sometimes the kids are just imitating behaviors from the parents. And we don't even want to admit it, but it's very, very common. That's why we need to follow our conscience. Anything else on that?
You know, that we're standing up against euthanasia, how does that tie in with what you said a couple of weeks ago about sometimes going under the wave instead of going against them?
When it comes to things that, like abortions, our voice has to be heard. It's not right. And now they did it like 9 months old. That's a murder. We can't accept that. It's unacceptable. Our conscience, we can't accept that. But when it comes to things like, what's another example? I don't know. We said this about the vaccinations, didn't we? I'm not sure. Maybe we said it about that. Yeah. If the government supports the vaccination, and if the vaccination is safety for others, why trying to make an issue out of it? Whoever wants to be vaccinated can be vaccinated. Whoever doesn't want to be vaccinated has to stay indoors. It's all right. There are issues that they are immoral, and there are issues that they're just issues. Yeah. Makes sense? Anything else?
Change their opinion?
Yes, if you know in advance that nothing is going to change, then think twice before talking. But if you might be the person to alert others, even if this means that you will sacrifice yourself, it's worth doing it. To understand when to do the one and when to do the other thing, it's not easy. So basically follow the peace of your heart, and this will tell you. Because sometimes it might be right for us to speak up, but if ourselves we can't handle it psychologically, we can't do it. So it's better not to do it. But if someone has a position in the society, in the church, and a matter arises, and they can speak up, they have to. They have to. Anything else on that? All right. Now, the second question that we've got here. There are many times I feel robotic when I pray. Is this pride? Can I hear some opinions? Anyone? If I feel robotic while I pray, is this pride? If that's the case, we're all full of pride. Yes. It's not a bad thing to have prayers that they are robotic, and I'm not telling you to pray like a robot, but what I'm saying is that robotic sometimes might mean that we are so used to praying, like some fathers, they say that the constant Jesus prayer, the unceasing Jesus prayer, it's of course a gift of the Holy Spirit, but it's something that it becomes a habit. So it is in a way that we're like robots and we say Jesus pray all the time. But the thing is that Jesus' name has so much power that regardless if we pray as a robot or not, it can still sanctify us. And there are times that we might be praying as a robot and miracles can happen. Miracles can happen. Or other times it can be, this prayer could be like a reflex. Like once I was about to have a car accident, had a trailer, I was doing the speed limit, but I didn't realize that with a trailer you should do less. And learning. And I had to press the brakes, the back of the ute was going like here and there, and I pressed the brakes. I didn't know you have to brake slowly. So the whole thing spinned around. And I said, Panagiam, that's the only thing I said. But I think it worked because that was like a robot. I said, Panagiam. But it worked because the road had something like a small cliff. And I did a 360 turn and I found myself on the opposite side of the road, and the back of the trailer was ready to fall in the cliff, but everything else was holding it, so the car in the front of the trailer, so it didn't fall. And I had to wait there for the police, and it was embarrassing, but yeah. So I did pray as a robot, but it worked. It worked. The thing is, when we see that our prayers, they are like a robot all the time, and I don't mean that we got used to say unceasing prayer and this and that, then we need to talk to our spiritual father again, just in case we need to change things around. Make them more, not alert, but more different. And it's definitely not pride. It's not pride to have robotic prayers. If anything, it shows that we insist, we persist, we want to pray, and by doing so time and time again, we prove to God that we love Him, and even though we don't get results, we keep going, which actually it's a humble thing to do. So having robotic prayers, it's not pride. Yeah, just drive safely, because you won't be able to pray if you have a car accident. Anything on that? The next question that we've got says, if we see people around us, young and old, who need financial or emotional support, and we offer our help with the intention of making them feel better, is that not being humble? What are your opinions on that? So if we help others, wanting them to feel better, is this a humble thing to do? Yes, no, maybe. Yes? Yes, yes. All right. So humility and love, they work very well together. If we help others, this indicates love, and therefore it is a humble thing to do, unless we don't do it for the others to feel better, but we do it for ourselves to be shown, like for others to see that we're doing good things. And if we do this for others to see that we're doing good things, that's a very selfish thing to do. We might still help others, but for ourselves, it's a very selfish thing to do. But still, it's good to help others. All right? And then we've got an interesting question. If we try to be humble in the world, won't those who exploit others' humility seize opportunity to harm? I want your opinions on that. So if we try to do humble things, won't other people use us? What's your opinion, and where is the balance? That's a difficult one. Anyone?
Yes, they might, but it's how we react to the situation.
That's the spirit. Can't see you. Yes?
It's our reaction to that environment, of how we want to make that situation better for us, that has a benefit for us.
All right. Say that again.
Yes, it might have a reaction.
Okay. Yes. Anyone else? Femi?
I was just going to say that maybe maybe being humble, you're taking yourself out of something, trying to be a bit more selfless, but it doesn't mean you don't have an opinion or you can't stick up for yourself if you need to at times, maybe. Like, it doesn't mean you have no opinion. Or...
So this comes back to what we said before with the heart integrity and humility. Dignity and yeah. Yes. Anyone else?
I guess being humble doesn't mean you're a doormat. And Jesus showed that many times when he had to express himself to Peter, every time he said all other things that he had to say, he said it. And he wasn't manipulated or because of his beliefs, because he was a nice, humble person.
So being humble, it doesn't mean that we're a doormat.
Yes.
That's a good one. Yes. Anyone else? Yes, of course. So everyone's actions are the reflection of their character. Yes. Yes, Maria. He was doing what? Yes, yes, yes. So someone was taking advantage of the kindness of the saint. He was coming back for more and more and more. Yes. This has happened with few saints, actually. Anyone else? I'll tell you two things. The first thing is that we need to know, if we can, our psychological limits, because if we don't, and if they push us more than what we can handle, they won't find themselves happy, because we will explode. So we need to know ourselves, how much we can handle, how much we can be pushed around. That's the one thing. If we don't know how much we can be pushed around, we don't know how humble to be. And it's a humble thing when we know that we can't be pushed around anymore to avoid these people and these situations. Because we will find ourselves in a situation that we will lose our peace. And that's not a humble thing. So we need to know our psychological limits. And if they're bullying us, handle as much as we can handle, and after that, we need to act in a way that it doesn't affect us anymore because we can't handle it. That's what it is. The second thing that I've got in mind, let's say that you see someone who's very peaceful. People are trying to attack his family, or they're trying to attack people that they depend on him, people that he can only protect in a work environment. Or someone is a spiritual father and they try to attack his spiritual children. I'll give you the example of what I would think is appropriate. I don't know if you know about chickens. I do because I was breeding chickens and I know their breeds and how they act. And I know that they can even eat each other if they don't have enough protein in their diet, some specific crossbreeds. Anyway, So some chickens, they can be good for breeding. They can lay eggs. They all lay eggs, but they can sit on their eggs when they lay. And some breeds that they are egg-producing chickens, they don't. So we're talking about the chickens that they can sit on their eggs, like good parents. They will sit on their eggs at, I think, I don't know, I can't remember the number of dates, 23, I can't remember. It's been a while. So the chickens that they will sit on their eggs and they will bring forth little chooks, if they don't know you, if you were to of them, they will kill you. And will they kill you? No, they won't, because they're smaller than us. But they will attack you, regardless if they will lose their lives. It doesn't matter. That's what a mother will do. That's what a father will do. And I don't know if you will call it humble thing or not, but in this case, I think that if other people depend on us, we need to defend the humble ones. So you can see me be peaceful and not talking much. If I see that there is a danger in the church and someone is trying to do something unjust to my spiritual children, I don't care if they kill me. You will hear my voice in a way that you've never heard it before. That's me. And I don't know if they will call me humble or not, but that's an instinct that God has given to the parents and to the nature for a reason. And I'm going to use it. All right? So, yes. These two things. Any comments? No comments. All right. Nearly an hour. Okay, let's see a couple of things from the book, because I just want to get one point across. So we continue, and some thoughts we can talk about next time. But yeah, so Saint Eusebius continues and says that whoever doesn't have a pure prayer without thoughts, can't easily fight the demons, can't fight successfully. So if we don't have pure prayer, like prayer undistracted, we can't fight as we should in our spiritual war. Of course, we all have distractions in our prayer, but Hierodes Emilianos says here that this indicates that we're still training. We haven't reached a level of the level of being trained soldiers, if this makes any sense. So we're still training, and that's good, and we have to do this, but that's what this indicates. Because the tempter, because the enemy, does not have a certain time that will attack us. He can attack whenever he wants, and if I don't have constant prayer which is pure, then I won't understand it and I won't defend myself, and he will win. And Hierodas then says something else. He says that our spiritual vision, and I have to explain what I mean by that, the sense of understanding that the tempter is going to attack us has to always be alert. So we always have to be vigilant. And in this way, by focusing on God, we will be able to understand our enemies as well. Does this make any sense? Do you understand it? Yes, no, maybe? Maybe? When we focus on God, without us trying, God shows us what the enemy is trying to do. So there was a case which happened recently. I was aware that there were two opinions on one thing. And I was aware that the people that had contacted me, they were right. Why? Because I went and I saw them in the past, and the case they were having was like they were right in all their arguments. Someone else came in the conversation, and he didn't understand what they were trying to achieve, and he got upset with them. I just couldn't believe it, because for me it was a given that these people, they were right. And when the other person sort of attacked them and said an interesting comment, I just couldn't believe it. But then I realized that the person who said this comment was not peaceful. And I realized that this was the work of the devil. So I'm coming to the point that I wanted to tell you. So there were few emails that there were for these people to prove their case, and I personally knew these people. If someone else was to read their emails, he would think that these people, they might be arrogant. But I knew these people, I knew they were right. So maybe the other person who was attacking them had a point. But what I'm trying to tell you is that when we know the person we're dealing with, when we know the person that we're dealing with loves us, that he or she is honest, that the other person cares for us, don't worry about what they might say when they're upset. Don't worry about what they might say and we might misunderstand. Dig a bit deeper. Go and find this common ground. That's very useful for couples, trust me. So go and find this common ground where love is. And if you know that the other person loves you, don't stay on the surface where there are waves. Go under there, find the common ground that you know that you understand each other, and communicate with the other person. I'm not sure if this makes any sense. If you do this, you will never fight with your partner, wife, husband, whatever it is. But if you don't, you will always be fighting, because you will forget that the waves, they are on the surface, they're not under. And this is where we should go under and find the common ground which says that my wife loves me, that's why she married me. My husband loves me, that's why he is there for me. Forget about everything that troubles the surface, and then you will find peace. And then you need to talk. You need to get your point across. But not get your point across in a demanding way, I want that. That means that my wife loves me, but I still want to do what I want to do. It doesn't help. We have to get our point across in which way. We're not on different teams. We're on the same team, and we will need to find a solution. This will be a common solution. We will both be happy with it, and we will both be peaceful. And that's it. There are no enemies here. We're on the same team. Time's up. Anyone, anything? If you are asked to make a decision according to two different stories, you don't look at the stories at the first instant. You look at what you know about these people and how you know them. So, for example, if you have two kids, I'm not saying you do, if you have two kids, and you know that the one is always honest and the other one is a bit cheeky, you know the story before they tell you the story. You don't even need to hear the story. You will hear the story, but you already know the story. It's not a question of knowing what's right and what's wrong. It's a question of bringing the peace. So that's a different question. So how do I bring the peace between someone who's a bit cheeky and someone who's honest? Sometimes you might have to give a bit more to the person who's weaker, and that's usually the cheeky one, and make the other person who's honest understand that this is the right thing to do, to help the other person, and everybody will be happy. Does this make sense? We should look deeper into things. And sometimes people, they hurt us, but they don't even understand they do so. So that's why we need to go up a level deeper, see if they really love us, if we love them, and communicate with them and go from there. Make sense? Anything else? Yes? Didn't hear you today.
How do we develop the discernment?
How do we develop discernment?
In order to see truly deeper into someone rather than basing it on our own perception of them, on the superficial perception of what we think of them.
We first need to see deeper in ourselves. And before that we need, it's a whole story. So we need to develop a connection with God. Then we will be able to understand ourselves. We create the connection with God first, and then we understand ourselves a little bit. And then, through what others do to us, we can understand where the other one is coming from. Now, if you want to develop discernment, you need to love God. If you love God, one way or another, He will lead you into the understanding of what you need to understand. Agapon me gnosete. The one who loves me will end up knowing. That's what the Gospel says. So the key to discernment is loving God. But what does this mean? This means that, it's a big story again. This means that we love God more than ourselves. This means that we love others more than ourselves. This means that we don't care for ourselves. And this means that we will end up, if we are like that, we will end up having an experience with God, and our understanding level will increase automatically. So these are gifts of the Holy Spirit, but they can be given to everyone if we do the right thing. Did I answer your question, or did I complicate it in your mind?
No, thank you.
All right. Anything else? All right. So that's it. God willing, our next NIPSI talk will be the Friday after our Archbishop's name day, which is our Archbishop's name day is on the 19th of January. So it's 21st. So Friday, the 21st of January, God willing, if restrictions allow and if it's not the end of the world, no. All right? Okay, thanks everybody for coming. We'll say a prayer and we finish.